You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Happy New Year, everybody! And welcome to 2018. Welcome inside Studio 34. My name is Greg Sussman. As always, joined by the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, and we're here to do it all again. What's going on, Corey? Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to everybody. Definitely feeling good as we come into the new year, coming off of a season closing. Obviously, got a lot to get to with these coaching changes and stuff like that. We know the importance of them in fantasy football. So happy to be here for 2017 to continue to serve the fantasy community.
Matt Modica, I'd like to rewind to last year, to 2017, back in August. I think you thought the Bills were the first overall pick. You wanted the Bills to lose. When they started winning in week one and two, you're like, I hate this stupid effing team. They stink. They're going to do this to us every year. They're 7-9, 8-8. It's terrible. Blow it up. And here you sit for the first time this millennium. The drought is over. The Buffalo Bills are headed back to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm still in disbelief. I did not believe this team would make the playoffs. I figured we were looking at maybe 7-9, 8-8, and then Sunday between 7:30 and 8 got real dark for a while.
Oh my God.
I will tell you that right now. I was in a dark place. I was cursing every Bengal known to man. But Tyler Boyd, the Red Rifle, delivers. The Bills Mafia has donated, I think, $40,000.
I think it's $50,000 now, to be honest with you.
Now. That's a great thing there. The last time the Bills made the playoffs, I did not know my wife, and I'm married 15 years.
That's an unbelievable stat, and it's crazy. Everybody hates Andy Dalton, except the Bills fans who have donated $50,000 to this dude. And that's the right way to celebrate it, Corey, right? Like, this guy gets you in the playoffs, and the Bills just, and the fans just donate $50,000 to his charity. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's it. Shout out to Bills Mafia. Listen, I've been shouting out Bills Mafia all season long. I wish this playoff game was at home, though, so we could see some people get thrown through some tables and set on fire. But I hope Bills Mafia travels well, get down into Jacksonville in some warm temperatures this week.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's amazing. It's amazing seeing all of that transpire, because you thought the Bills were not going to fly in, but you thought, like, all right, things were really lining up well for them. And then there comes Joe Flacco, brings it back, and the Bengals collapse. And we've seen the Bengals collapse so many times. It's now, what, 4th and 12. And I could just see every Bills fan just hands over their head. And then Tyler Boyd down the seam to get in the end zone. I want you to describe your emotions on that play.
I mean, I was just very, very sad at that moment. I was, you know, and it was, what, 4th and 15? I was like, there's no way. I didn't even think they could get a first down, put it that way. And when I seen that, when I seen him catch that pass, and he hit that corner, I was like, oh my. And I knew he had it scored. Because if he didn't get in the end zone, right, you know the Bengals would have bangled that up.
So. I'm surprised you didn't think there's 44 seconds left, they're going to somehow lose this game.
That was a possibility, but, you know, Joe Flacco, as elite as he is, but the reason Tyler Boyd was drafted was for that play.
For that moment. Unbelievable. We have a lot of Week 17 to talk about. We have coaching changes to talk about. We have playoffs to talk about. We got a lot going on today. It's the Roto Experts, a brand new year on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
very excited to be with you here. It's a brand new year. What are those New Year's resolutions? You know what? I'm going to do that later in the week, too.
I'll say this. My New Year's resolution will start on January 8th.
Okay.
My wife will be leaving for a few days. You know, her mom's having surgery.
Okay.
So she does not want me to quit smoking until she's out of the house.
She does not want you to quit smoking until she's out of the house.
That could be a little...
angry?
Yeah.
Can you not come in either?
She used a new word every time I annoy her now for 2018.
Right.
It's called mistletoe.
Mistletoe, okay.
Means, you know, stop.
So this is big news, quitting smoking. That's a huge, huge
Monday
thing.
I will take the plunge.
So after the Bills game on Sunday, you're going to chain smoke seven packs of cigarettes.
where I may need a lung transplant.
We were right about that Saturday afternoon game being Kansas City and whoever, but Kansas City and Tennessee does sound like the perfect start to the NFL playoffs at 4 p.m. on Saturday. That is the NFL's gift that keeps giving, putting that worst game at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
It's unbelievable. So I told you this. As you guys know, my buddy's getting married on Saturday. He's a huge Jaguar fan. He wrote a letter to the NFL, the whole deal.
Wow.
And he gets it Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Nice.
I called him before he knew.
Yeah.
And I've never heard him so happy in his life.
Amir Khan heard his voice.
Saeed Khan, but whatever. Chad Khan is what it is. But it's amazing. And let's talk about Jags-Titans here for a second. Because Marcus Mariota goes and wins this game and gets Titans into the playoffs with a run down the left sideline where he had to do his thing.
He had to make a play.
He did. Uh-huh. It's a perfect way to describe it. He had to make a play, and he did, to get the first down. And the Jags have now lost two in a row to the San Francisco 49ers and the Tennessee Titans. And I get the San Francisco 49ers finished as literally the hottest team in the NFL because Gucci has never lost in his life.
Yes, he won't lose either. Can't stop, won't stop.
Amazing. He's never lost in his life. And it's amazing because now, like I said, the Jags have lost two in a row to two teams that I would think are worse than them. They all season have had the best defense in football. Tennessee beats them. San Francisco beats them. And you wonder the age-old question. How could you win when you don't have a quarterback? And that's what Blake Bortles has become again in the last 2 weeks. Fantasy purpose is great, right? Like, there's everything you want in fantasy football.
The roller coaster that is Blake Bortles.
And now it's on that downswing again. Like, facing a Bills team that is not going to go down easily. And I get it. I'm not sure that they have the offense to get past a Jacksonville defense. We'll talk about that, you know, in a moment throughout the week. But if I'm a Jags fan, yes, I'm happy to be here, but I'm petrified. This is a game that we should win, and I don't know that we can.
Yeah, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think you got to look at it that way if you're part of their fan base. But from an outside observer, I think you can chalk those two games off. I think this team gets refocused. Listen, you know that they want that defense to win that football game. Blake Bortles' job is not to turn the football over and make too many mistakes. But I think Jacksonville's defense at home to start the playoffs to be up for the test. And I think that they will stamp their ticket to go to Pittsburgh the next week. And I think they're going to put a scare into the Steelers also.
You know, momentum doesn't necessarily matter, Matt. We've seen teams limp into the playoffs and three-game losing streaks and go on and win the Super Bowl. The Jacksonville Jaguars, like I said, just have not looked good thus far over the last couple of weeks. Blake Bortles has, like I said, looked really, really badly. You're the Bills fan, of course. You get this matchup with Jacksonville. How you feeling?
Look, McCoy is doubtful to play. That's a major blow to this offense. Look, I'm happy.
I saw something different.
You know, I've seen where he doesn't have the high ankle sprain. They're saying it's a low boot. Otherwise, he would have had a higher boot, which sounds encouraging. But he is the engine for this offense. You know, he's not Todd Gurley, but he's the Todd Gurley for the Bills. Do they have a fighting chance? Yeah, they have a chance. Blake Bortles. That defense is tough.
Bills have a better quarterback.
I know it's underperformed.
They don't act like it.
Yeah. that they don't. I know they've underperformed the last couple of weeks, but it's going to be a tall order. It's going to be fun. But if McCoy can't go.
Who's the offense?
I mean, I'll say this. If you saw Tolbert steamroll Timmons, That was some. I mean, he's just you know, a wrecking ball going downhill. But I don't know. I'm going to hold that hope. I'm excited. I didn't believe this team could get here. They're here. So, you know, They're like the locusts every 17 years. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, as you should. But it's a game, like I said, I truly believe they do have an opportunity to make some noise in Jacksonville in what I'm sure will be a raucous playoff atmosphere. You know, I think it's a game that's going to be fun. Corey mentioned it as well. The gift that keeps on giving is Kansas City playing that first game of the playoffs. And it's Kansas City in Arrowhead at home against Tennessee. And like Kansas City does every year, Corey, I expect them to wipe the floor with their opponent.
Yeah, and they should wipe the floor with this Tennessee Titan team. This Titan team lucky to be in the playoffs. That run that you talk about, Mariota making a play, that saved Mariota's hind parts. That saved the head coach's hind parts. So I think that, but when I think that they get into this playoff round, I think Kansas City is going to unleash on them. Beat them down pretty good, send that team into the offseason. Even though they made the playoffs, I think they did not meet expectations. So I think this Tennessee Titan team, lucky to get in, bored another year of this head coach. So
correct.
They're going to have to get it figured out in the offseason if they spend on advancing further.
Matt, is this like the worst thing that could have happened to the Titans? Because now they keep Mularkey, they keep Robiskie, they keep this old school staff.
Well, I don't know if Mularkey, if...
You don't think he's out the water?
I don't think he's out of the water.
Wow.
What if they get steamrolled? If they get steamrolled, they're one and done. Look, they did pass the Vegas win total of 8.5. They were sitting on that 8. So, I mean, I really loved that. I thought that was an easy one. I thought they were a 10-win team. But they really sputtered down a lot. I'm actually excited for this game. It could have been worse. We could have had the Ravens in there or something like that. So, Kansas City's a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
You got Hill. You got Hunt, Kelsey. So, there are players there. It's in Arrowhead. That place is going to be crazy. Yeah. So it's not the worst game we could have got. So
Tennessee would not have been a playoff team in the NFC.
No.
They can't compete with any of those.
Neither would Buffalo.
A lot of these AFC teams can't really be able to compete with the teams in the AFC.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of these NFC teams were that great neither. I think that they have better depth if you go down the playoff thing, but I don't think there's that many. I don't think there's any great team neither. The Eagles, really, it's a shame what happened and went because it was like their year.
Yeah.
And I'm writing them off from pretty much everybody else. But, they're still going to have a home game. They have a good defense. And they have a running game. We just don't know who it's ever going to be. But they do have a running game. So, I can't totally count them out. But they went from probably the favorite to
the team that people want to – that's the team that people are trying to get to. So, essentially, that's Saints – Panthers winner, I think, goes to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
Well, not necessarily, because they don't necessarily go to Philly. Because you could have Atlanta beat Los Angeles.
I think the Rams smoke Atlanta.
I'll talk about the NFC in a moment.
See, the Rams actually,
I don't want to rush through the NFC, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But looking toward 2018, we saw a glimpse of that on Sunday, and I want to get your thoughts, because I know you were very excited over this, Matt. And that was the debut of Patrick Mahomes for Kansas City. What did you think?
If you just saw that one throw... If you saw that one throw with him on the run, there's a handful of quarterbacks that can make that throw. Look, is next year, is he going to have his ups, his downs, his growing pains? Sure, all rookie quarterbacks do. But, I mean, as excited as the San Francisco fan base is, I'd be excited about this kid Mahomes. I'm not saying he's Jimmy G and what he's done, but this kid's got an arm, and he's got a good coach. He's in a good organization. You have... A guy like Hill, who, like I said, I owned one or two shares of this year. And when you look at the numbers and what he was able to do, this was his first year as a wide receiver. Very impressive. Kareem Hunt won the rushing title, led all running backs in missed tackles, runs in receiving. So, and you got Kelsey. I'm an excited Kansas City Chief fan. Now, I know they gave up a first-round pick last year. I wish the Bills had Pat Mahomes, even though we did get a first-round pick and Trey White. So it was a good trade on that level. So, I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, you know the transition's coming and the future is bright.
Yeah, I think with Hunt and with Mahomes, I wasn't as impressed, Corey, as Matt was with Mahomes. I think he's right. There's going to be growing pains going forward, but you can see there's talent there.
Yeah, no, he's talented. He's going to get his opportunity to showcase that next year. A veteran team to play around, a team that could be coming off a Super Bowl appearance. So I think he's in good hands right now. Andy Reid is not going to say the young man wrong. Well, hopefully he doesn't. Shovel pass work this week.
The show of has to work.
It did work this week. Jet sweep.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Andy Reid playbook.
Andy Reid, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. I wonder if Tennessee will be prepared for that. I bet they will.
I'm quite sure they will. Yes, they've seen it before.
They have. You know, I'm not so sure though. It's Tennessee.
Is DeMarco Murray going to be healthy?
That's the other question, right? You know, LeSean McCoy. You think he's doubtful? You go. I don't know. I think DeMarco Murray's also doubtful with a more, I don't know.
I think DeMarco Murray could do everything possible to get on that field.
As he has all year.
Yeah, well, and look at Henry. Got that, what, 66 yards?
Cut me, coach, cut me. Remove the hamstring.
Come on,
get going in.
But, I mean, 28 rushes and 51 yards. I don't care how good the Jaguars' run defense has. You know, it's become more stout since getting Darius and stuff. That was unimpressive. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, the big news, other than the football on the field, was about the return of potential coach off the field. John Gruden, next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
YouTube, what's up, people?
Welcome inside Studio 34.
I'm Greg Sussman. This is
I can't hear you, Greg Sussman.
I'm Greg Sussman.
There you go.
There we go. This is Corey Parson. This is Matt Bodica.
This is awkward right now.
This is very awkward.
This is awkward.
We're on YouTube. We're on TV.
And we haven't been here since Sunday. Obviously, yesterday, New Year's Day. Everything's shut down. I hope you enjoyed our programming on New Year's Day if you were listening.
Good stuff.
Yes, but I think we have just realized that our buddy, our friend, our pal, our mascot, the guy that's been with us, the real MVP of Studio 34, I do believe that Ted Finn Jr. has swam his last swim. It looks like Ted Finn did make the season. If you had week 17 in the poll, I mean, in your pool, Ted Finn, you're a winner, but I think that we have come to the end of the Ted Finn era in Studio 34.
I think maybe seeing Tyler Board make that catch.
Shocked him. Sent him in the shop. Yeah. Sent him in the shop.
He survived so much green water.
Yeah, he did. To the bitter end, he swam around in the swamp.
I walked in here, I'm like, this bowl looks so nice today.
Yeah, it did look nice.
It's clean and happy and... Ted's just not.
Well, we'll have a funeral for a friend. I will spill some caramel macchiato on my cigarette.
Pour out a little liquor for Ted Finn at some point today.
We love you, Jen.
It is a shame.
We loved you.
But he, like you said, he did make it through the season.
He did make it through the season. Strong fish. Strong fish. I mean, if you saw that water some weeks, it looked like urine.
I think you have a tough task next segment, breaking this news to Scott.
Oh, God. That is going to be very scary.
I'll just tell him to check the link of the video.
That is very... Scott's going to be hurt by this.
I can't.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the frenzy today. I don't know. Somebody... We have to call somebody.
We're going to have to... Ted, we'll...
We have to remove Ted, too.
Yeah, it's a non-no job. Florio!
Florio asked for the fish, and I didn't even... Yeah, so... We have come, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the services of one Mr. Ted Finn Jr. Ted Finn was a fine beta fish. He came inside Studio 34. He came into our hearts. Finn came in here in the summertime. Florio asked for him. It was always tough for Ted Finn around, you know, us people that don't really know how to take care of animals, but Finn hung in there and Finn fought. And every time we looked up, Ted Finn was swimming around. It was days we overfed him. It was days we didn't feed him. It was days where the water looked murky, but Ted Finn still floated through. So this is a very touching and sad moment as we come towards the end of the fantasy football season and the end of the NFL season. We have also seen the era of Ted Finn Jr. come to an end. I would like to take this moment to give special condolences to Mrs. Finn Jr., Grandma Finn, the whole Ted Finn family.
Freddie Finn.
Yes, Freddie Finn. There's going to be an endowment set up in Ted Finn Jr.'s name. I know if many of you have never been inside Studio 34, but how could you miss Ted Finn doing the commercials, all our YouTubers checking on Ted Finn? But it just got too much for Ted Finn to handle, and he's in a better place now. He's in a better place now. All hail, rest in peace, Ted Finn Jr. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly,
well said.
Indeed.
Well said.
I'll say this, he was not just any baiter. He was a master baiter.
Yes, he was.
Well said. I hope Ted Ginn Jr. goes out and plays like a champion this weekend.
No doubt. You're right.
We'll root for Ted Ginn. Ted, we'll miss you, buddy.
We all need armbands.
We'll miss you.
We need to get something in here to memorialize Ted Finn.
Probably some alcohol for Corey.
That's more than likely.
And with that, we turn our heads toward Oakland. Jack Del Rio, much like Ted Finn.
Never had a chance.
If you had 3 years or 3 years was
in three
your,
years
in your Jack Del Rio poll, you win. After the game for Oakland, basically before he went to the media, Mark Davis said bye, and Jack Del Rio had to go to the podium and be like, I'm not coaching the Raiders next year. It's over.
Yeah.
And he goes away, and every rumor, including coming from ESPN and Adam Schefter, who literally talks to John Gruden every day, says, quote, John Gruden will be the next head coach of the Oakland Raiders. The rumor report is like $10 million a year plus ownership stake.
That's the key word.
Well, of course it is. And it was going to take a lot. I've said this before. Gruden loves hearing his name in rumors, but it was going to take a lot to get him out of the booth. $10 million a year and an ownership stake in the Oakland Raiders.
And a chance to have to run the whole show. I think somewhere along the back end of the season, I mentioned that Jack Del Rio was like Mark Jackson in Golden State, where in order for the team to advance, I think it had to be another mouth had to come in there and lead the franchise. But listen, looking back at the season, and we talked about this on Sunday on the show we did, Matt, looking back on the season, this is tough for Jack Del Rio because The Marshawn Lynch was a major distraction for this team. Obviously, they had the issues throughout the middle of the season with Derek Carr in the offensive line. They just were in a bad spot this year, the Oakland Raiders. I think another year, I think Del Rio could have gotten this turned around and respectful and maybe gotten this team to the playoffs. But this is a team that came in with Super Bowl aspirations. The quarterback was being mentioned in MVP talks, and it didn't turn out that way at all. So Del Rio, I think, would have survived if the name on the other end was not John Gruden.
Yeah, no, Gruden going back to Oakland. And look, Del Rio loves the Raiders.
Loves the Raiders. I mean, hometown team, the whole deal.
His press conference, he was, you know, he was pretty much up front and forward. And, you know, I'm excited to see Gruden come back, I'll be honest with you. I don't think he was all that great in the booth. He just pretty much complimented everybody, and, you know, everybody was great. So I think it's a win-win for everybody, him leaving the booth and going back to Oakland and having that opportunity with that team. And, you know, driving the boat. We don't have to watch these cheesy Corona commercials anymore, hopefully.
The thing about it is, which I think is interesting, obviously with this move, the first thing that you point to, excuse me, the Winter Classic is being played in here later on today. The thing that you look to is, how does this move right here, the most important person in that this is going to affect is Derek Carr. If Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback that we think he is, a leader of a franchise, a guy that could take a team on a deep playoff run, then John Gruden is the guy that has to come in and get this done. The first thing that they have to do is get Derek Carr into a situation where Derek Carr is the leader of this team, where he is a good asset as a quarterback and not a guy that we think is more than David Carr. That is John Gruden's responsibility to get this young quarterback up and running. And if they can put a piece in the backfield behind him that's not 30-something years old, kind of on a, you know, tour, I think that would go a long way to helping Derek Carr. So this Oakland team is going to be in place. Today's NFL is a different place. John Gruden calling plays in today's NFL can be very exciting and entertaining. So let's see what happens with this Oakland Raider franchise.
So there you go. You remember the point that John Gruden calling plays in today's NFL can be very good and very exciting. What makes you say that? John Gruden isn't coaching the NFL in 10 years.
Yeah, John Gruden is
legitimately 10 years.
Still too close to football.
He coached, I believe it was like 6 straight years without winning a playoff game. He had many losing seasons in a row in Tampa Bay. Last time he was a head coach, he was not successful. He has not been successful in like 15 years as a head coach.
Look at John Gruden, what he can do offensively, what he can do with quarterbacks, how he coaches these guys up.
I want to see who he hires.
That's his job.
Wait,
that's his job.
What he's done with quarterbacks. As a head coach, he had Rich Gannon, who was very good.
MVP.
Absolutely. MVP. Absolutely. Brad Johnson, they won the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl with Brad Johnson, which is an accomplishment.
Did he ever develop a quarterback, ever?
No, I did not see a situation where he's developed. Well, what is would you say he developed Brett Favre?
Would I say he developed Brett Favre? No, I would not say he developed Brett Favre.
Okay.
No, I don't think that's what
I'm
saying.
The most important thing is, who is he going to hire as defensive coordinator?
Well, Paul Gunther's the name that you've been bandied about.
That's what
if he doesn't get the Bengals job himself. So,
yeah, I mean, but did you hear about Marvin Lewis?
Not dead yet.
Yeah. You know, that's just crazy.
He outlived Ted Finn.
Who would have thunk?
I don't know. I'm excited to see Gruden. I think he's a student of the game. Like Corey said, he's been so close to football. He's been, you know, he's been involved broadcasting these games.
The quarterback camp, all of that stuff. I'm buying into it.
Yeah, he's going to be lured back in by the ownership stake.
I understand that. That was the one thing he couldn't get. Evidently, he was on a plane with Peyton Manning and Jim Irsay last year about taking the Colts job. Ultimately, it did not come to fruition. You heard him bandied about with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He obviously turned that down, which is why Dirk Cutter still has a job. And the ownership stake gets him to go to Oakland for Oakland's final year or two in the Bay City, and then goes over to Las Vegas. So you get the big name, the brand name, John Gruden. I'm just not sure John Gruden's a very good football coach anymore. Like, I know we all want to like John Gruden. I understand that, but
here's what I'll say about it. I think he's not going to be stubborn. Like, you know, you see these recyclable coaches.
That's what he is.
But I'm saying, they come in and do the same crap over and over again. I think he's a person that's seen what's going on, looking to the future. He's more innovative in his way. That's what I'm going with.
I don't know why we can call him innovative. Like, I don't know what he's innovative.
Look what he did with those two quarterbacks we just mentioned. Those were not, you know, by any means household, like, you know, pedigree quarterbacks. I
mean, sure.
Rich Gannon to get an MVP.
Yep.
Win a Super Bowl with Brad Johnson.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's going in there with Derek Carr, who I think is on an NFL level. Somebody I would want to lead my franchise.
Sure.
At this age, you know, get the offense right. You have an Amari Cooper there who has not reached his potential.
He has to get it right. I mean, he has to be able to get the most out of Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. He has to get the most out of Derek Carr, certainly. When you have a guy like Khalil Mack at the linebacker position who's arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. There was all this talent there. Oakland certainly underachieved with Jack Del Rio. Some coaching changes and decisions he made did not work. Evidently wasn't popular in the locker room when it was all said and done. So now they go over to a John Gruden. And Corey, I do want to ask you this before we hit the break. Why would any African-American candidate interview with Oakland?
No, it's no reason to. I'm glad you brought that up. I think this is a different situation right here. But it's got to be a way to still do it properly.
We'll have to talk about that coming up in a little bit. When we return, the King, Scott Engel, next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back with you on the Roto Experts program, the very first program, very first edition here in 2018. Proud to be back with you, and also proud to bring in my guest at this time, who we talk to every single day at this time. He's the host of Fantasy Sports Today, heard at 6 a.m. East each and every morning, Monday through Friday. It's my good buddy, the King, Scott Engel. Scott, what's going on? Do we have Scotty here?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. I hear you now. Scotty, how are you?
Good. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, man. Happy New Year. What's going on?
What's going on? A lot to cover today on Fantasy Sports Today. James Harden out for at least 2 weeks with the hamstring strain, and big night for DeMar DeRozan with a career high and franchise record, 52 points for the Raptors.
Yeah, a lot of basketball talk on Fantasy Sports Today. James Harden, of course, with that grade 2 hamstring strain. Of course, Chris Paul gets healthy. James Harden goes out. We got to get these two guys healthy. And DeMar DeRozan goes off. And there's actually a really good piece that I was going to read a little bit later on about how the Raptors have to embrace shooting more threes in order to keep up in today's NBA. And it looks like DeMar DeRozan was able to do that last night, Scotty.
Yeah, and the Raptors are playing really well at home. They're rolling. They've won like... They've won 12 in a row now, and I guess we'll have to wait and see. You know, if there's other injuries we're dealing with, I said it was interesting this morning. Like all the NFL superstar injuries, like basketball to a lesser degree. You know, you just get Curry and Griffin back, and now Harden goes out. We don't know if Damian Lillard might miss his sixth consecutive game tonight. Austin Rivers is not a superstar, but we're gonna have to wait and see on him. Embiid was dealing with the back, now it's the hand. You know, he's going to be game time decision again. So lots of injuries to deal with, lots of maneuvering in fantasy hoops.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you get those teams updated. Of course, Toronto's next game tomorrow in Chicago against the Chicago Bulls. Scotty, this is also that time of the year where you got a lot going on, right? You have fantasy basketball in full swing, you have fantasy hockey in full swing, you got fantasy football winding down, Playoff pools are still happening. We'll talk about them tomorrow on the Roto Express program. But you also turn an eye towards fantasy baseball, which you can read about over at rotoexperts.com right now, as our good friend Tim McCullough wrote about the first Roto Express mock draft of the year.
Yeah, it was actually one that he participated in with some guys from Baseball Prospectus. And he said he was kind of stunned that Trey Turner actually went with the fourth overall pick. And that's kind of aggressive when you look at the early fantasy pros ranks. Trey Turner is, you know, just quite slides into that top 12. But speed has become, as Tim knows, is becoming so much more of a coveted commodity because homers are out throughout baseball. I don't know if I'd be quite as gutsy to take Turner in the top five myself. You'll get a nice batting average. You could get 50 steals and 15 homers, but I would like to pay a little bit more for production across the board. I know power is up in the major leagues, but I want to pay for more power than I will for speed. And if you can't get a Mookie Betts, do you really want to go for a Trey Turner? What's your feeling on it?
Yeah, for me, Mookie Betts in this particular draft actually went 11th overall with Turner going 4 on Team Heaney. And for me, I don't, you know, you said you'd rather pay up for the power. I just agree with you. You can get power everywhere. Everybody has power. Everybody in the MLB has 25 home runs. So I understand paying up for a shortstop that, you know, missed half the league, half the year, and still stole more bases than almost anybody outside of, like, Billy Hamilton. So, for me, I get it. I really, really do in today's MLB where power is very, very easy to come by, and speed's just not.
Yeah, true, but you know how much power are you going to get with him as compared to other guys?
I don't care how much power I get from Trey Turner because so many guys hit 25 home runs now. So I don't care that if Trey Turner does or doesn't to me.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'd like a better power speed combination.
But like I can make basically throughout my fantasy baseball draft, I think that I could make up the lost power. So last year there were three guys in all of Major League Baseball that hit 40. That had 40 stolen bases. Trey Turner was one of them, and Trey Turner had 400 at bats. The other guys in front of him, Billy Hamilton and D. Gordon, each had about 600. So 46 stolen bases in just 400 at bats. That's crazy to me, and compared to everyone else. And I understand he only had the 11 home runs, and it's very scary to take in the first round a guy that only had 11 home runs. But if you just look at the list of MLB, the guys that hit at least 30 home runs, there's 50 guys that hit 30 home runs last year. 50! And I named three that had over 40 stolen bases.
Well, if you get Mookie Betts, though, you're looking at 25-25, probably a slam dunk right there.
But I'd rather have the 45 stolen bases and 400 bats, which could be up to 60. So give me the 60 stolen bases, and I can get the 10 to 15 home runs I'm losing elsewhere. If I go down to 25 home runs, Scotty, you're looking at about 75 players that hit at least 25 home runs last year.
So how early would you be willing to take Turner?
I'm willing to take Turner exactly where he went in this draft.
Right.
Personally.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm vehemently against it, but, you make a lot of good points.
Yeah,
Tim's the one that's against it.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder with Goldschmidt too. It's
sure.
You know, to get that kind of speed at that position and the even higher batting average. The thing with Turner is though too. It's like, how proven is he? You know, it's been one season.
I completely understand that, but all I'm really looking at a Trey Turner is again for that is for the speed to be there. I get it for one season. You're absolutely right, but I just need him to run, and I think that's realistic. You look at Paul Goldschmidt. You get that speed, but it wasn't even what it was the last 2 years. He only had 18 stolen bases last year, and that's not for nothing. He could have been the MVP easily last year. He wasn't, but those stolen base numbers are trending in the opposite direction. I do want to note that.
I still get 15 to 20 from a first baseman.
Sure.
That was pretty darn good.
Definitely. But it's not, I'm just saying, just to note, it is less than it has been in years past. That's all.
Then you look at like a Stanton and a Judge in the first round, and you're talking more than 25 homers. You say so many guys hit 25 homers.
Yep.
But what about the guys that hit 40? They give you even more of an advantage.
Well, yes, they give you more of an advantage, obviously, because they hit more home runs. You had Carlos Stanton go in the first round, and Aaron Judge go in the third round, which I think is very interesting. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, you get the advantage of Giancarlo Stanton and Judge both hitting 40 home runs. But again, when 75 people hit 25 home runs and just three have 40 stolen bases, it's easier to make up the power. That's all. In today's game.
Right. Well, then I look at a guy like Charlie Blackman, too. It's
sure.
Like, you know, I can't forget about a batting average. I mean, you know, the guy hit, I don't know if I expect him to hit 324 again, but I could expect 305, 310.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to get close to, I might get, 35 homers, and I could get 15 to 20 steals there, too.
Oh, don't get
you know,
it's like, I love him.
That's all the way proven across the board.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's why Charlie Blackman's a first-round pick. I love Charlie Blackman, absolutely. I'm with you there, Scott.
Would you rather have Blackman or Turner?
Would I rather have Blackman or Turner? It's just, I don't know.
I think you're getting a higher average. You're going to take a little bit of a dip in You'll maybe only get half the steals,
which is a big deal.
But
obviously,
you're probably going to get 12 more homers or something.
But
you're getting
less than half the steals. You're getting a third of the steals. That's a huge difference.
If I'm playing in an on base percentage league, there's no way I'm taking Turner over Blackman.
I get it. I mean, you're looking at 60 points. I get that.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that, Scotty. I think it's a fair point with Charlie Blackman, who, you know, unbelievably enough, he's only going to be 31, so he's still in the prime of his career. It's not like he's trending downward yet. He plays every day, played 159 games last year, did Blackman 700 plate appearances, career high there. So I have no issue taking Charlie Blackman there. But as you mentioned, both Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, monster power hitters for the New York Yankees. You had Stanton go in the first round, Judge go in the third. Why do you think there was a two-round difference between these guys?
I find that to be a little baffling, especially when you look at the injury history for Giancarlo Stanton, maybe because he has more of a track record there. Maybe it's a little baffling to me, actually. To me, they're both like late first round, early second round kind of guys.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree that to see that like two round difference is very surprising. It's absolutely surprising. All right,
it's not the way I would rank it, but you look at Judge last year, he had a .284 average of 52 home runs. It's like, knowing Stanton's injury history, how can I split the difference between that that much between the two of them.
Sure.
You still get a high average from Judge, and you don't have those durability factors.
Sure, absolutely. Final question, Scotty, before we let you go, about this early mock draft here. You had Ohtani go in the seventh round of this draft. Seems a little late on first glance compared to where I've been talking to Matt Modica about it. What did you think about Ohtani going, waiting, lasting all the way to the seventh after some other guys, like a Jake Arrieta, for instance, after an hour and Noel, what do you think about that?
Especially in fantasy baseball, my approach is go with proven guys. I probably wouldn't have ended up with Ohtani on my roster at all because I just don't know how the talent is going to translate. It's too much of a wild card.
I mean, I disagree. I think players that come over from Japan, particularly pitchers, really have an easier time around the league that first time because that deception, which they're so good at, really works out very, very well. I've had success going that direction with the Kenta Maeda most recently. Yu Darvish certainly before that, even Daisuke, right? So I'm surprised that he actually lasted the seventh round. I know I'm more partial to pitching, but to see him go in the seventh round was a little surprising for me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's something that I'm willing to do just yet. I want to see the guy pitch first. You make a lot of good points, but you know, for there's always been guys like Hideki Arabu and stuff like that because you can point to all these guys, but I think I take everybody as an individual, and mentally, how is it going to translate? What's going to be the mental adjustment for him? I don't think you can compare it to everybody else because everybody's an individual.
Everyone is an individual. If you're taking an individual, you're taking a 23-year-old kid that they're calling the Babe Ruth of Japan. I'll take the odds. Scotty, it's been fun. We'll do it again tomorrow, my friend.
All right.
All right, when we come back, talk a little baseball. We'll continue with the baseball conversation with my friend Matt Modica. We do it next here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
I'm going to save the baseball conversation for another day, another time. Before we were talking to Scott, we were mentioning John Gruden in Oakland. You can watch that video and us pronouncing Ted Finn Jr. dead on YouTube. But we left off, Corey, with asking a question I think a lot of people around the NFL are asking. And that's if John Gruden to Oakland is a done deal, which it certainly seems like it is by every report from anyone, why would any African-American interview for that head coaching job?
Because it's a chance to go out there and sit in front of the ownership and talk about your strategies, your schemes, what you would like to do as an NFL head coach one day, how you would run it, how you would manage the football team. And you go out there and you sit down and you do that interview. You may already know that this job is not one that is for you, but anytime you get an opportunity to sit down, who knows, you interview with that owner, they could have a situation where a year or two down the road they could need somebody and they can look back and remember that the opportunity when you came in there and you interviewed, and if you did a good showing, then it could be a job down the road for you somewhere. That owner may know somebody else, he may call somebody, and you know, kind of like how Sean McVay got his job, just about by word of mouth and people saying, this is a good guy, you should take a look at him. So that is the reason why I would do it. But as far is from the Fitzpatrick Alliance and what the NFL concern should be, there should be some kind of fine levied against them. I understand this is a very unique situation when a coach like this comes out, but they're breaking the rules, so they need to be held accountable for it.
So I don't think this is a different situation. I think when people do fire a head coach, a lot of times they go in with a target, right? Like, I think the Lions, for instance, are an example in that they fire Jim Caldwell. To me, like, Matt Patricia's their guy. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but it seems like that's the guy they want. The general manager comes from the New England. They want a defensive guy. It all kind of just lines up that they want Patricia. And that's fine. But they need to interview a minority candidate. That's the rule. That's how Mike Tomlin ended up in Pittsburgh. And
well, it's different with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Yeah. I mean, Rooney is the rule.
I understand so he, that. So but they follow the letter of the law.
They follow the letter of the law.
Wow, this guy was really damn impressive, and they hired him. And
Then he's one of the best coaches in the NFL.
Best coach in the NFL.
Tomlin definitely is one of the best coaches. I am a huge fan of Mike Tomlin. Look, I get it. Look, if you get the chance to interview for any job in your profession, you go ahead and do it. It's an opportunity to sit there across the table from somebody that can get you this opportunity. And maybe this isn't the opportunity, and you know that. But even if that first time, it's the opportunity to sit there. And maybe that second time, you learned from that first time.
Sure.
There were questions asked, and you're better prepared. Or if you make a good impression, people will find out. It's a small, you know, it's a small tight knit group. There's 32, you know, it's not like, you know, it's a there's massive opportunity.
Sure.
So you got to take every chance you can get.
But I have to.
Yeah, the coach that goes into that situation that takes that interview.
Yes.
He's in a tough spot.
Correct.
Because you know, who wants to be that guy?
Absolutely. You know, Art Shell probably do it.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, who wants to be that guy?
Yes.
Because you got to look back to everybody else, and everybody else was saying, you know, you shouldn't have did that.
Correct.
So that becomes a situation right there. But I think, and when it comes into the circle in the world that is the NFL, this is a thing that I think you just have to be expected of sometimes. So I think the right idea would be to go and sit down with the Oakland Raiders and do the interview. But I'm the NFL, Fitzpatrick Alliance. They do need to look at this. The reason why I say it's a different situation is because of the bigness of the name that is John Gruden.
That's not a good enough reason to me. I'm sorry.
But that's why the Oakland Raiders should still be held accountable.
Yeah, I agree. Like I get it. Like, you went out, you're giving Gruden ownership. So it's a big deal, and you're going to go through the motion. That's fine. They should be held accountable. I'm sorry.
They should be held accountable. Even though, you know, this is their guy. It comes with a price, just what you're paying him.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's fine that he's your guy. I have no problem with it. But you got to follow the rules.
Yeah, you got to follow the rules.
And I am quite sure before they announce it, this week is Gruden announcing the game on Saturday.
They'll have it.
They will have somebody come in and interview.
It's a bad look, but that person is put in a tough spot. The NFL is put in a tough spot. The Oakland Raiders are put in a tough spot. But I don't think we're to the point where we need to get rid of the rule.
I don't want to get rid of the rule.
Yeah.
I don't want to get rid of the rule. I'm not there yet either. Okay, we're going to come back. We got a lot of NFC playoff talk. I want to continue talking about the other coaching changes around the NFL and see what these guys are thinking. Roto-X, hour number 2, comes your way next.